think he's done, but he retired. He retired from teaching about 5 or 6 years ago. And he works.
Are you gonna make it?
First, and then the gas station.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob. We're on.
Okay, thank you very much.
Coming?
Call the meeting to order. Our first order of business is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lang, do we have any changes to the agenda this evening?
No changes. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda as circulated.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as circulated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the March 26, 2009 meeting.
Gentlemen, the minutes have been corrected. There were three minor corrections reported to us by Mr. Robertson. They have been corrected.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes of March 26, 2009 as amended.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of March 26, 2009 as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is old business. Our first item of old business is conditional use number 1770, Stokely Materials, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 1770 for Stokely Materials, LLC for the expansion of an existing borough pit based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. This application is for a 53.32-acre expansion of an existing borough pit on a 94.89-acre parcel of land. A need exists in the area for dirt, sand, and gravel, and existing borough pit sources are becoming depleted. The material removed from the site will be used throughout the county for a variety of residential and commercial uses and road construction. Project with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on traffic or the neighboring properties or community. So the project is of a public or semi-public character that will provide a source of filled dirt available to the entire county. This use is essential and desirable for the general convenience, safety, and welfare of the current and future residents of the county. Buffers will be established along all borders. No parties appeared in opposition to the expansion of the pit, and several neighbors appeared in favor of it, along with an extensive number of written letters of approvals. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. No material shall be brought from off the site for processing, mixing, or similar purposes. Water or a water truck will be available to control dust from road traffic when conditions require. Any roadway and entrance improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant. All entrances shall be secured when the borough pit is not in operation. The entrance to the borough pit shall be from County Road 318 at the site of the current pit entrance. The hours of operation for the business on this site shall only occur between the hours of 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7:30 until 2 p.m. on Saturdays. There shall not be any borough pit activity on Sundays. No material shall be stored on any access roads or within any buffer area. There shall be no more than 150 loads of materials hauled from the site on any given day. No fuel shall be stored on site for borough pit operations. No dredging activities shall be permitted on the site. No dewatering activities will occur on site. No stumps, branches, debris, or similar items shall be buried or placed in the site of the borough pit. The borough pit shall have 3-to-1 slopes, and the slopes shall be seeded and planted to control erosion. The pit shall not be greater than 25 feet deep at any point. Before any excavation begins in the expanded area, an environmental impact study will be conducted and presented with a final site plan. A final site plan including all pit slopes, excavation phasing, and reclamation plans shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission prior to the commencement of operations. Reclamation plans shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planting schedules designed to create a pleasing appearance. The applicant shall notify the Office of Planning and Zoning in writing prior to April 1 of each year as to the status of the reclamation and reclamation plans for the following year. The applicant shall comply with all state and county erosion and sedimentation control regulations. Markers and signs shall be placed at appropriate locations to designate pit areas. A buffer shall be maintained along the perimeter of all boundaries of at least 100 feet in width, as shown on the preliminary site plan. And the buffer area shall include a 30-foot wide vegetated buffer of native species trees. Every 5 years after the start of excavation, the Office of Planning and Zoning may inspect the site and request written comments from all appropriate state agencies so that the Planning and Zoning Commission can review the comments and verify compliance with all regulations. The applicant shall also comply with all of the requirements set forth in Section 115-72B of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. It is recommended that County Council require performance guarantees to assure completion of any approved reclamation plan pursuant to Section 115-172B, subsection 6E. The excavated area shall not exceed 53.2 acres. That's my motion.
Second that, Mr. Chairman.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 1770, Stokely Materials LLC, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is change of zone number 1636, Mark L. Mumford.
Gentlemen, on the March 26th meeting, we discussed this application, and there was a consensus of the commission that we do a little research on the triangle of Belltown, the area that's in the AR district. And so just for your benefit, I'm passing down a copy of the tax map with some superimposed notations. You can look at them this evening or review them on your own, and I can explain it later, or I can explain it now, whichever you prefer.
Better time than the present? What do you think? Okay.
The area of concern would be the area between Route 9 and Beaver Dam Road, being Road 285, the area in yellow, basically. It runs from the pointed triangle at near the interconnection of Route 9 and Plantation Road, and it runs westerly to the on Route 9 to the Delmarva Power and Light, or Delmarva Power as it's called now, their substation. And then on the north side of 285 in Beaver Dam Road, it runs several hundred feet further west than the substation does. And what you see noted is some initials like RS and RV and different references. They're all two-letter references, and they include utilities, nonprofit, commercial, vacant, single-family dwellings, which is RS, RT for trailer, ST for state lands, and RI for residential improvements. In that triangle, there is one utility site, which is the substation. There's 31 residential single-family lots, all being very small, or majority of them being small. There's 7 lots improved with trailers or mobile homes. There's 4 tracts of land to the easternmost triangle where the state has created the interconnection with Route 9 and Plantation Road. So there's 4 tracts there that are already state property. There's 6 residential vacant lots, and there's a church property right at Church Street. And the site's highlighted in gray, number 214, that was the site of the applicant. I included what's across the road. On that side of Route 9, the north side, there are 9 single-family lots, 1 residential vacant lot, 1 nonprofit, 1 lot with residential improvements, one lot with a mobile home, and 8 commercial sites. And that's only along Route 9. Some of the lots, you see the bigger lots right at the intersection of 1 and 9, the Tom Best store, and there's a bank, there's a garden center, and then there's a vacant lot. Those are all commercial. Everything north of Route 9 is commercial except one parcel, which is zoned MR, which is medium density residential, but it is improved through Board of Adjustment approval with a mobile home. That's the general area. And the area of concern would be the area within the triangle. And the concern there was that Mr. Mumford's lot was so small that you get the setbacks that are required for a B1 application versus the size of the lot, and you place the setbacks on it, he could build a 10 by, let's see, by 75 or 80 foot improvement. And that's it. Just with the setbacks, not counting all the other requirements. Unless there's other parcels combined together to make a bigger parcel to be able to develop it. And some of the lots that say residential, single family, RS notation, some of those are not, they're dwellings there, but they're not occupied. They're in really bad condition. Example would be the one parcel right behind the church. And that's all I have at this time.
All right, sir. Well, thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the report from the staff on this. I'm quite familiar with this area, as I'm sure other members of the commission are, and certainly the one thing that stands out so glaringly in looking at this is it appears as though on the as you're traveling east on the right, on the south side of the road, there's no commercial zoning at all. And I'm prepared to make a motion.
All right, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend a denial of change of zone 1636 for Mark L. Mumford for a change of zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record and for the following reasons. The applicant has not shown that the proposed change in zone is compatible with the county's land use plan. 2, it is not appropriate to rezone a property that is only 1/4 acre in size to CR1. Given the Del Dot commercial entrance requirements, parking requirements, stormwater management requirements, and commercial setback requirements that would affect the property if rezoned to CR1. The applicant has not clearly stated the basis for the change in zone or what the potential or proposed use would be, particularly in light of small size of the parcel and the limitations on the use caused by its small size. Where there may be commercial or business uses on the opposite side of Route 9. The property around this site is zone AR1. A change in zone to CR1 with the uses permitted under that zoning district would not be consistent with zoning and uses of the surrounding property. That's my motion.
I'll second that one too, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. It's been moved and seconded to recommend denial of change of zone number 1636, Mark L. Mumford, for the reasons stated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings, and I want to thank all of you who are come out to see us this evening, give up a part of your Thursday evening. For those of you who aren't regular attenders here at Planning and Zoning, I would like to direct your attention to our council to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you regarding the way that we conduct our meetings and the way that we would like you to conduct yourselves.
This is the time and place, ladies and gentlemen, for hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and these hearings are conducted pursuant to the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission that were adopted in October of 1998. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present are invited to stay throughout the commission meeting and view deliberations and voting on pending applications. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please refrain from any activities that distract from the proceedings and follow the directions of the chairman. If, for the courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please turn that off now or put it in silent mode. The hearings themselves will be conducted as follows. The application will be announced by the chairman. The director will review the application as well as any agency comments and correspondence received to date. The applicant will then present the case, explain the application to the commission, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant as well as any of the witnesses. The chairman will then invite public comments. Supporters will be asked to go first, followed by opponents. If there's a spokesman or an attorney representing an organized group, we would ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on public comment or to terminate testimony that is irrelevant, offensive, or unduly repetitive. Commission may ask questions of supporters or opponents. There's no direct questioning or cross-examination of witnesses. However, any questions that you might have can be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the question to an appropriate individual if they think that's appropriate. There's no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested and permitted by the commission.
All right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing.